This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. I'm so glad that you're with us and to spend some time with us as we talk about you. This is a new beginning, and you never know, something wonderful is just around the corner for you. And with us in our discussion this morning is Mr. Joel McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders, and I might even ask Joe what that really means. You can find him online at RippleConnects.com. That's with an S, RippleConnects.com. 763-438-1621 is how you can reach him by phone. And Joe, quickly before we get into today's topic, what does it mean to turn candidates into contenders?
Well, for many years, we helped our clients get ready, get practice, be fully aware of everything around them to make sure that their next position that they take is the right move. And it took a couple people to realize that what we're doing for people, Freddie, is we take job candidates and we turn them into contenders at the jobs that they deserve, not the jobs that they're not going to be happy with, not the jobs that they're not qualified for, but the jobs that they deserve. And that's a contender mindset. Because we also know that anybody that presses apply and sends their application in is technically a candidate. We like to take it a step further and get those people ready for the jobs that they deserve.
We're talking with Joel McKenzie. He's our co-host on New Beginnings. Just showed you an idea of how we turn candidates into contenders, Ripple Connects does, I should say. And we want to talk today about the importance of having situational awareness in an interview process. It sounds as if the weapons are pointed at you and anything could blow up at any one time. Having that situational awareness, what does it mean and how does it benefit the job applicant in the interview process? I guess it could seem like hand-to-hand combat at times.
Well, obviously it's not as extreme in job search, but I've worked with a fair amount of political candidates that teach them situational awareness when speaking to groups and anticipating questions and just knowing your audience. Well, in a lot of ways, that's the interview process, knowing your audience, knowing who's asking you the questions, you know, and realizing, Freddie, months ago, we would have never realized that we'd be here in the middle of COVID, still not realizing how the economy is going to play out, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
If we don't bring that awareness to an interview, meaning knowing our audience, knowing that the people that are interviewing us are going through that same uncertainty and have that unclear vision of that economy. If we're going to go in it like it's 2019 and ask the standard questions and answer them the same way, that's not situational awareness. We have to pick up on some of the pain points of the employer. We need to understand what they're going through. We need, you know, what are the implicit challenges due to COVID? What are some of the new opportunities? I like to think positive about how we're going to land in this new economy, but you need to be situationally aware in that hiring process, that interviewing process, to pick up on the nuances of where this company wants to go. And if you can bring that, and not like it's 2019, but 2020, with a high level of situational awareness, you will stand out. You cannot approach it like it's 2019 and it's normal, because we do not know what March of 2021 is going to look like and going forward. So it's obviously not as extreme as, you know, many professions that have to be situationally aware. But I think a job seeker needs to bring some level of that just because of COVID. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I do. And it seems to me that certain employers, especially the interviewers, are expecting that level of awareness in that job conversation.
Absolutely. And again, the people that are going to be doing the interviews are almost in the same boat as you are as an applicant or a contender for a job. It's so important to bring that awareness, pick up on what they're saying and what they're saying and what's keeping them up at night.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into a job interview, all you're worried about is how you're going to answer a question and not be able to pick up on how you're going to ask a question or a follow-up question based upon what someone has told you on the hiring side, then you're not going to put yourself in good position to get that job. But being situationally aware when they say, well, we've experienced some challenges in this area because of supply chain issues or funding issues or timing issues or working with, you know, the global economy. That is an open door by saying, I'm curious. Let's talk more about some of those challenges. What are they? They might be similar to something that I've worked with in the past. And that's situational awareness, is listening, figuring out where you're gonna follow up with a question that's gonna separate yourself. And in reality, Freddie, what happens if you uncover some challenges that seem so insurmountable? Now the opportunity doesn't look as good as it did before you asked those questions. And I'm okay with people turning down jobs when they realize this is not a good fit. So that is another part of being situational aware, picking up on some of the things that you have no control over. You want to step into an industry that's struggling? I don't think you do. But if you can uncover some of the challenges and you have some similar challenges that you've addressed in the past, you may want to consider it.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about the importance of having situational awareness in an interview process, no, not hand-to-hand combat. But I'm wondering, do you think that in today's rapidly changing economy, that having a high level of situational awareness during the interview process can pay long-term dividends? And I'm wondering, long-term, I'm thinking not necessarily for the job that you're in, but maybe what you can bring to bear. Let's assume that you get that opportunity, but it's something long range, maybe 3 to 5 to 10 years down the line.
Absolutely. That is, you know, start thinking about your role. What does your role look like on day one of years 2, 3, 4 and beyond, especially in light of COVID? If you see an opportunity and an industry and a company that is in good position to overcome some of the challenges, that might equate to professional growth for yourself. And that's those long-term dividends I was talking about, Freddie. Those opportunities to be in a position to make a difference in an organization, even though in the midst of COVID, that's the long-term dividends. With professional growth, you know, a lot of good things happen, right? You get new opportunities to grow within that organization. You may be able to take that somewhere else someday, but it's as important to talk about day one of year 2, 3, 4 and beyond as it is the first day of employment there, in my estimation. And that is something that we should all consider when we're in an interview, when we're asking questions. Don't think of day one. Think of day one of year 2, 3, 4 and beyond.
Makes a lot of sense, everybody. We're talking with Joe McKenzie about having situational awareness in an interview process. And I know there's some people who are saying, okay, I get what you're saying, Joe McKenzie, but how do you develop situational awareness? Where do you begin?
A lot of it starts with confidence. And if you can get some information about that industry, if you tap into your bench of advocates to get information, you do your own research, that confidence before the interview, well before you ever get into a position to be interviewed, have information that you can really drill down on those industries. And what are some of the unique challenges? What are some of the opportunities that lie out there? That will give you that confidence, especially if you get in a situation in a hiring process, interview process, that you want to learn more about if this is the best role for you. Well, practice, drill down, have conversations with people in the know. Job search is not meant to be going alone and then tell everybody that. Understand what's in play here. Remember a week ago I talked about this visual of this snow globe being shook upside down and all we're seeing is these flakes starting to float down, Freddie?
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know how they're going to settle.
That's true.
And if you use that as a visual and bring that awareness to an interview, you might gain some clarity there to set yourself up for getting the job you deserve, but also that professional growth. And that comes through having that awareness, that situation. You're in an interview. Should I be focusing more about my answers, or should I be focusing about drilling down on something that the person that's interviewing you brought up and then running with it and drilling down and drawing out some of the nuances of that challenge or that opportunity that may be right for you?
Well, you know, there can be a sinking feeling when you're sitting there in that interview process and then you realize, oh my gosh, this is not the opportunity for me. But then to have the confidence to be able to make that discernment and go, okay, well, this is probably not. But then there's also that excitement of knowing that this could be the real opportunity because you've been aware. Joe, we're out of time, but we do know that even with this interview that you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings, and we've got more to come. Stay with us.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Says the spokesman.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, F-R-E-D-D-I-E-B-E-L-L, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a pointed listening each week. Right here.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You're listening to New Beginnings, and Joe McKenzie just led us through some important job search strategies, and one of those involves LinkedIn. People often ask how much energy they should be putting into LinkedIn and how wide a network is useful. Here are four stages of LinkedIn engagement. Recognize that each stage corresponds to a real-world networking status of how you are interacting with your professional community. Number one is minimal. Connecting with coworkers and friends with little cultivation of new contacts. Implicit in this mindset is an attitude toward networking. These are generally individuals who keep their head down and only try to network when they need a new one. When they do, they find themselves uncomfortable reaching out to contacts from the past because they haven't stayed in touch. Is that you? And then number two is curated. This approach cultivates more contacts, but is predicated on most LinkedIn relationships being close ones, people you have met in person or at some point in your career. The contacts are carefully maintained and can be relied on to respond to messages and return phone calls for the most part. A curated network is a powerful tool for an executive or a professional. The work put into maintaining it will pay off well when you're job hunting or seeking to help associates network. We're giving you some ideas this morning on how to make your LinkedIn more useful for you. We talked about the minimal contact, the curated contact, and now the aggressive. An aggressive LinkedIn strategy accepts that not all contacts are going to be close ones and that LinkedIn can be used selectively as a business development tool. Recruiters, for example, are going to reach out to people they don't know and cultivate them as candidates. What distinguishes the aggressive approach from the undiscriminating is that you have a specific reason for anyone you're reaching out to, even if you're just cold calling on them. And now the undiscriminating. These are people on LinkedIn who connect with anyone and boast of having 10,000 contacts, for example. Unfortunately, LinkedIn is ultimately a mechanism for managing reputational capital. If your contacts don't have a relationship with you, how are all of these connections useful? It seems obvious that the curated and aggressive categories are the right ones for nearly everybody. A curated network will work well for most people outside of business development, and an aggressive cultivated network is a way to go for sales and recruiting. We're following up this morning on Joe McKenzie's strategies for a successful career, giving you some ideas on how best to use LinkedIn. And now let's turn our attention to talking about your money, specifically bank fees. If you're not sure if you have overdraft protection on your checking account, now might be a good time to double check to avoid surprise fees. When the pandemic hit, regulators encouraged banks to be flexible about removing overdraft fees, which they charge when customers overspend their checking accounts. Unemployment remains high while federal aid is dwindling, and it may be a while before many consumers can see additional financial relief from pandemic-related economic turmoil. And while many banks say they continue to work case by case with customers facing financial hardships, institutions are under no requirement to refund penalties indefinitely. Since about a third of people who overdraft view it as a way to borrow money when they are short of cash, they may incur more fees if money gets tight. That, according to Nick Bork, who is the director of the Consumer Finance Project at the Pew Charitable Trust. So it's best to be prepared. And here's what you need to know, according to Bork. A 10-year-old federal rule requires banks to get their customers' express permission before charging a penalty for overspending for most debit card purchases or ATM withdrawals. Banks don't, however, need your consent to charge you a fee if you overdraw your account in other ways, like by bouncing a check. The default setting is no overdraft. The bank simply declines any transactions that would overdraw your account. This may prove embarrassing if you're at a store, but you won't owe a fee. If you opt in to get overdraft coverage, however, the bank allows the purchase. In effect, it lends you the money and charges a fee, typically about $35. Customers often misunderstand their options, and banks contribute to the confusion sometimes. Last month, the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau reached a settlement with TD Bank over what the Bureau says was the illegal enrollment of customers in its optional overdraft service. The Bureau found that the bank did not get customers' consent before signing them up for the overdraft service. Employees also verbally gave customers misleading or incomplete information, such as suggesting the service was free, the Bureau found. In a statement, TD Bank says it did not admit any wrongdoing. The bank continues to offer its optional overdraft service, debit card advance, saying it's valued by its customers. The Bureau had opened a review of the opt-in rule more than a year ago. Dozens of industry groups argued for keeping the rule unchanged, while consumer advocates urged stronger protections. In March, the Bureau cited a continued need for the rule and said that it would not change. And finally, as we talk about your money, we're also seeing that the pandemic is leaving some people with extra cash. If you've managed to end up with extra money during the pandemic, here's how to take advantage of those savings. And we have five different points for you this morning. Number one, start an emergency fund. Establishing an emergency fund is one of the best things you can do for your future self. And if you put it in a high-yield online savings account, it could benefit from a higher interest rate than the regular savings account you may have right now. You don't want to invest your fund because your primary goal for that money is accessibility and not growth. We're giving you five things to do with some extra cash that you may have as a result of the pandemic. Number two is invest for retirement. If you haven't started investing, there are two easy jumping off points. Number one, your employer's 401k, if it offers one, and an IRA. Both are accounts that can help you to invest for retirement with some tax benefits. Roth IRAs, for example, allow your money to grow and to be taken out in retirement tax-free. Now, even if you're already contributing to a 401k or an IRA, you may want to increase that contribution. And because you can always change how much you're contributing, you can decrease the amount you're putting toward retirement if and when your spending habits return to normal. Number three is save for other goals. Retirement is a common goal, but it's likely isn't the only one you have. Consider putting extra funds toward other things like college for your children, a new car, or a dream vacation. Investing can help you achieve those goals faster than just saving, but keep in mind that you generally don't want to invest money you'll need within 5 years. If you found yourself in a position of privilege during this global pandemic and have been able to save some extra money, you may also want to consider increasing your charitable contributions. Number four in our ideas to give you with that extra money that you may have during the pandemic is to explore real estate investments. You don't have to start renovating the old barn or putting up shiplap. One of the easiest ways to invest in real estate is to invest in real estate investment trust. These are the REITs, and they're companies that own and sometimes operate real estate that generates income, such as apartment buildings. Publicly traded REITs are bought and sold on exchanges, just like stocks, and have similar liquidity, meaning you can sell them with relative ease. And then number five, get some help. Online financial advisors and robo-advisors have brought the cost of investment management and financial planning down significantly, and both are good options for when you're feeling lost. These advisors can also help you stay hands-off with your portfolio during turbulent times in the market by ensuring that your investments are aligned with your risk tolerance. If you need a more comprehensive plan, consider a financial advisor, and we talk with several on New Beginnings.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You are listening to New Beginnings, and our program continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
I got to tell you, this is a point of listening. And if you've been with us in the last couple of weeks, we're really taking a deep dive into neuroscience. Before we get there, let's talk about the website, westmetrohypnosis.com. You can reach Kelly Von Heidekamp at 952-222-3975. Kelly, good morning. We spent a couple of weeks talking about neuroscience, and it is really interesting that the last thing you shared with us last week was that rest is an absolute. Can you recap and pick us up to continue this week's conversation?
Yeah, so this discussion about neuroplasticity was specifically about people who are high performers. And again, that we can all be high performers no matter what we are doing career-wise, no matter how we are showing up in what roles we play. We can be a high-performing mother, a high-performing radio host, whatever high-performing thing we want to do. And it all comes down to the ability of alternating and toggling between highly effective states of deep, clear, calm focus and rest and renewal. And for anybody out there who thinks that rest and renewal is simply luxury and it's frivolous, it's not. It's a necessity. And what this neuroscientist has found is that it's not just things like rest in the form of napping or taking a break, but it's also restorative things like laughter, restorative things like playing, and that this untethered time where there is no agenda to produce something, to be something, to do something, but really just a suspension of time and space. So your nervous system has an ability to absorb the working parts, the activities, the learning that has taken place during the day. So as the school year begins, whether that is in person or online, because we're at that time of year now, it's really important to understand this for your kids as well, especially if it is online. Because online means less physical activity. It means less personal engagement. This time for untetheredness of just being. And if you think back to your own childhood, you know, your mom sending you outside and how many of us just spent hours at a creek with a stick or, you know, just finding, making stuff up, doing something. This is such a valuable, valuable part. And it's not just valuable for children. It's valuable for adults as well. So I challenge all of our listeners today to find ways to engage in these restorative states of play, of laughter, of untetheredness, of just beingness in space and time, so that when you do show back up in your activity, in your learning, that you can show up and be the very best that you can be. And the nice thing about this, he says, this is what actually engages the neuro system and the nervous system in neuroplasticity. It keeps you young. And that's why we all need to be doing this.
I love the young part.
Yeah. So, Freddie, I hope that you're going to go schedule some untethered play for yourself this weekend.
I will do that only because it was a great suggestion from you, and that's what I've been gleaning for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Freddie.
If you'd like more information from Kelly Von Heidekamp, founder of West Metro Hypnosis, visit the website westmetrohypnosis.com or 952-222-3975. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
We turn our attention to Mr. Jay Happala. Jay is a wonderful resource to you because there are a lot of people who would take advantage of people who are unsuspecting. Jay, with utility scams and home repairs, should we be really concerned about those would-be scam artists right now?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Freddie. It's good to be back. You know, across the country right now, whether it's wildfires out west or, you know, strong winds and storms in the heartland and in the south, you know, there have been a number of natural disasters across the country. And so it is a good time to talk about home repairs and how scammers really prey on disaster victims.
Right. I do know some good friends of mine who are storm chasers. They chase down tornadoes, but then you got the other side of storm chasers who come into our communities.
Yeah, these are different kind of storm chasers, whether it's been a hailstorm or a very serious hurricane or a tornado. These kind of storm chasers are the ones that show up the next day, and they're looking for business, and not all of these construction companies and contractors and roofing people are on the up and up. They're not all to be trusted, and they're trying to sign up their victims as fast as they can. Of course, they are promising very low costs, and a common theme with these unscrupulous or untrustworthy construction people is that you got to decide right now. They'll come at their victims with stories about how they're so busy, and if you don't sign up right now and perhaps make a down payment, it's going to be too late and they're going to move on to the next customer. So that's a big red flag.
So how can a homeowner protect themselves against these people who are very well versed at taking people's money?
Right. It's tough because a person who's had their home damaged has a lot of problems, and it's going to be an emotional time and a critical time. But folks just have to slow down. And that's why planning ahead and learning in advance is such a good strategy or just way to protect yourself. So, you know, these scammers who are involved in these kind of construction scams, they might take a down payment and disappear. They might actually do the work, but it's going to be not high quality work. It only lasts a few years. And when it's time to have some, you know, address the warranty or there's some problem, you're never going to be able to find that contractor. So really, you know, our state and cities have processes in place to make sure that reputable businesses and the people who are running legitimate businesses in an ethical way are registered and licensed and can be checked out with the city and with the state. So I just encourage folks before signing on with the contractor, I think a good place to start is with your city, because through the permitting process, there is going to be a record and a way to verify reputable businesses. And then in Minnesota, our state keeps licensed on reputable contractors who are insured and protected, so that their, you know, homeowners and people who need the services can be protected as well. And, you know, if you're dealing with someone who wants to do some work on your home and you ask them, how can I verify that you are a reputable business and you're going to stand behind your work? Mm-hmm. The good guys are going to be happy to explain exactly how they can be verified, because they don't want to, you know, in their industry of doing good work, they don't want to compete with the other guys who are cutting corners and doing things cheaply. So they're going to be helpful. And I guess that's our advice.
Well, I can remember just not long ago, CenturyLink had a power down and their crews were in the neighborhoods. How can you protect yourself against those would-be scam artists who pray for things like that? They wait for the internet to go down, or they wait for that big hailstorm to go down. What's one sure way that we can protect ourselves in an instance like that, Jay?
Yeah. Meanwhile, while there may have been damage to people's homes, you know, other times it's just that the power goes out or the internet service is down, or maybe there's a problem with the water supply. Who knows what it might be with your utilities. And this is different. So, you know, generally, you know, the scammers aren't going to be doing any actual work on your home, but instead they'll be calling on the phone or sending emails, requesting or demanding personal information before you get your power turned back on. They might come up with a story that says, you know, you have a power outage, and in order to get your power restored, you got to pay your bill first before we're going to turn the power back on. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the way, that's just not the way it works. These are just scammers who know there's been a service disruption or a power outage, and they're just taking advantage of that situation to tell a story that sounds like it might be true, but it's not. And unfortunately, people are being victimized in those kind of scams.
Before we have to step away, do you have a word about fake charities?
Yeah, you know, as if folks who are affected by disasters or power outages don't have enough going on, then we got to worry about the scammers who are acting as though they're fake charities, and they're asking the rest of us donations to help the victims. But the best advice there is, instead of responding to solicitations or incoming requests for donations, you and I can look up on our own where to give a donation that is a trusted sort of charity.
You mentioned slowing down as a way to stop a scam, but there's also a Fraud Watch helpline.
Yeah, anyone who sees something suspicious, or, you know, if someone's been victimized by a scam, there's so many different government agencies and different places to navigate. That's why we have a one-stop phone number, our Fraud Watch helpline. Our volunteers who are answering the phone here, they can help people navigate all the different complex places that they're supposed to go for help with these scams. That phone number is 877-908-3360.
All right. Jay Happala, Associate State Director for Community Engagement. I'm calling him our scam protector for AARP. I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Freddie. You too.
All right.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us now is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty Harris, property manager and newly minted, I should say. If you'd like to reach out to Kitty, you can reach her directly at 612-344-2221. The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is located at 1015 4th Avenue North. That's in Minneapolis. Good morning, Kitty, and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And I'm seeing all this construction around Minneapolis Public Housing Authority. What's new with regard to the complexes and housing?
Yes, we have a lot of exciting projects going on in the midst of the COVID craziness around us. MPHA is currently remodeling one of our senior high-rises, the Elliott Twins, which is downtown near Viking Stadium. I was going to call it Humphrey. That's dating myself.
Yes.
But what we're doing is we are renovating our senior units, and we're building a link in between the buildings that will have a state-of-the-art community gathering space for our residents, as well as a lot of other amenities that seniors will need as they are aging in place. And so we're very excited to have the opportunity to leverage some available funds in order to provide this service. And none of our residents have to be displaced during this time. So they're kind of living in a construction zone. But it's exciting to see the new endeavors that we're doing to our existing properties, as well as creating new properties and partnerships.
So do the new properties give you more space, or is this a replacement for some older facilities that have gone out of commission?
Well, the Elliott Twins one is just kind of giving that building a facelift, but our new property, people who may have driven past our main office at 1001 Washington would probably notice where Zakara's Produce used to be. There stands a new beautiful building. It's a multi-income housing facility. We're going to have some project-based vouchers there. So that is creating new housing that was not there in the community, and it's right by our main office, and it's called the Redwood. It's another one of our community partnerships. And so what MPHA has been trying to do over the last couple of years is attach ourselves to businesses that want to bring more housing to the community and see how we can partner and make sure that it's affordable and accessible for the community.
Everyone, we're talking with Kitty Harris, property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center in North Minneapolis. So in that regard, housing is a prime concern for everyone, no matter your age. If someone wants to get into Minneapolis public housing, what are the steps required to start that process?
And so I'm glad you asked that, Freddie, because it's a common misnomer when it comes to public housing. So MPHA has 42 high rises throughout the city of Minneapolis. And one of the things about our public housing is that application process is never closed. We are always accepting applications for persons that are seniors or are disabled. Obviously, people cannot come in to obtain an application, but they can give us a phone call at 612-344-1400. We typically would accept those applications on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays as a walk-in. But now that we are closed, people are able to call and get information on how they can apply for public housing. If they are a senior or they are 18 plus disabled, we do have that option available. And then also I want to mention that our sister to the across the river, our sister in St. Paul, the St. Paul Housing Authority will also be opening its waiting list in the upcoming weeks. And so I encourage people to visit the St. Paul Housing Authority's website and find out more information about their upcoming waitlist opportunities as well.
All right. And what's the website in case our listeners may have missed a couple of the telephone numbers or websites specifically for open housing?
So for MPHA, they can go to www.mphaonline.org. And for the St. Paul Housing Authority, they can go to www.ststpha.org.
All right, Kitty, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Freddie. You have a great day.
And New Beginnings continues right now. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
So here we go. Whatever you hear from others, or even yourself, be skeptical. Ask, is this the truth? Is this reality? Or is it virtual reality? That is, the appearance that claims to be truth. Facts that claim to be truth. You know, in the very beginning of our unity movement, 130 years ago, there were other organizations that grew up like Unity. It was part of an American spiritual revival called New Thought. And one thing that they loved to emphasize at that time was the word semblance. Beware of semblance, they would say. Well, that's not a word that we use so much in today's language, but what it meant for them, semblance, was an outer appearance claiming to be an eternal truth. An outer, what we might call a fact, appearing to be the wholeness of a truth principle. Beware of appearances, as Unity would say. Look beyond the appearances to the truth. How many times have we heard or prayed or affirmed, I look through the appearances, the circumstances of this day to know my truth that I am God's creation, in essence, eternal, everlasting. These circumstances, these appearances, these semblances are temporary. They've come to pass away. They are not the lasting truth. I can give you facts from the physical world about me. I'll make myself the example. I was born on December 15th. I am currently 63 years old. I weigh, well, wait a minute. We don't have to get too specific. We don't have to be too factual. After all, they are just semblances. Do these physical facts, I'm a Sagittarius, of a certain weight, of a certain age, of a certain background, do these facts tell you the truth of me? Well, they indicate certain quantitative measurements, like that weight thing. But do they get to the real of me? They are physical details, and they can be helpful to know under certain circumstances. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. He's going to want to know. Get on the scale. How tall are you? How much do you weigh? What's your temperature? There are times that these things are necessary, but they don't get to the core of our existence. You know, sometimes through judgments, people get carried away with their opinions. You know, they might look at me and say, well, James is 63. He's getting kind of old. He weighs enough that I would call him fat. He's right on the edge of the statistics of obesity, as the doctor has suggested to me before. He was born under the sign of Sagittarius. You know what that means. Now we're getting personal. But can I even believe myself? What I tell myself may be mere opinion. It may be untrue ideas that I have agreed to, that I've taken on, that I am less than in some particular way. Or if people really knew the facts about me and my history, why, they'd keep a distance. Or at least they wouldn't like me. All these things we tell ourselves, be skeptical. When a thought like that comes up in your own mind about me, certainly, but about yourself, be skeptical. Ask, is this the truth? Is this the whole picture? So Ruiz cautions us. We shouldn't believe what others say, and we shouldn't believe what we say ourselves. He writes, to be skeptical is not to believe everything you hear. You don't believe it because it's not the truth. That's all. You don't believe it because it's a bad thing to believe. You don't not believe it because it's confusing. You just acknowledge that it is not the truth in a whole and lasting way. He goes further to say, and listen to this, people. I don't want to have to get the drill sergeant out again. Listen to this. Ruiz says, the truth doesn't need you to believe it. The truth simply is. And it survives whether you believe it or not. Lies need you to believe them. If you don't believe lies, they don't survive your skepticism, and they simply disappear. Did you catch that difference? In discerning a truth about yourself, someone else, the world, or whatever, ask yourself, does this statement outlive me? When I'm gone, will the statement still be true? If it's a lie, a delusion, it needs my attention to keep it going. So if I withdraw my attention, it fades away. This is one way we can discern between truth and semblance or appearance or circumstance. What will last when we are gone? And what will pass away with us? I always use the example because it's easy for me to remember. If I get angry, if I'm jealous or envious about something, when I give that up or move on, it's gone. It was my creation and I have to sustain it. When I perceive something in the world that I declare as beautiful, or I see as wisdom or love expressing through an individual, that lasts. That beauty carries on. It's not dependent. The beauty of nature, we may see it and enjoy it, but it's going to continue whether we're paying attention to it or not. the things that are essential and lasting, and the things that fade.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.